Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light. Today's program, Prophet in Dungarees, starring Marcia Hunt, was written by Virginia Mazur and comes to you transcribed from Hollywood under the auspices of the University of Judaism, West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
A long time ago, a homesteader in Arizona watched his corn shrivel on the stalk. A long time ago, a Chinese baby starved to death in his mother's arms. Not so long ago, a boy named David died in a cellar in Europe, hiding from the Nazis. Tonight I sit at a banquet table in New York City, a banquet in honor of my husband. Whatever they tell you about him, whatever words they use to praise him, they are the reason. The Arizona homesteader, the Chinese baby, the boy named David. They are the reason for whatever he has done, whatever he will do. It is that simple.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our great honor to have with us tonight a man whose name is known in almost every part of the world. Known not only by princes and potentates, but most of all by plain men. Men who till the soil in the dust bowls of America and on the hills of Galilee. Dr. Walter Clay Loudermilk.
I am sitting beside him, the guest of honor. He is my husband, and I am beside him where I have been for the greater part of our lives. I see his stubble of gray hair and his face weathered by the winds of the world. And I think of all the patchwork of days that have brought us to this day and to this place. November 24th, 1953, and a banquet in his honor at the Waldorf Astoria.
A soil conservationist, Dr. Loudermilk has spent the greater part of his life teaching the impoverished peoples of the world how to work out a righteous relationship to the earth and its natural resources.
Hungry lands and hungry people. How many have we seen in our lives? Arizona, that was the beginning. I went there on a visit from California because of my father's health. I was 18 when I went to a church social near Willcox, Arizona, and met Walter Loudermilk. He took me outside to show me the night sky and Orion's belt. I remember he needed a haircut.
What am I? I wish I could say. Doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief. Came out here to help my father homestead a piece of land, but I'm thinking of giving it up.
Oh? Why?
It's not enough to tend my own garden.
It is for lots of men. Why not for you?
Take a ride with me tomorrow. I'll show you why. Brought a young lady to see you, Mr. Gibbs. I wanted to see what an Arizona homestead looks like.
Ain't much to see, miss. Look at my corn shriveling up on the stalk. If it don't rain soon, I'm going to lose my whole crop. Then how am I going to feed my cows this winter?
How are we going to feed our kids? I guess the Lord just didn't intend us to make a living on this piece of land.
don't think I'll ever forget them. Those skinny little children and the corn all shriveled up on the stalk.
That's why I say it's not enough to tend my own garden.
But what can you do about the Gibbs? Oh, maybe she's right. Maybe the Lord just didn't intend...
Oh, don't blame the Lord. We've been doing that too long. Blaming the Lord, blaming nature for the sins we commit against the land.
You talk like a preacher.
Well, now listen. When the Lord created the earth, he put on it 7 inches of topsoil. On that 7 inches of topsoil, all our sustenance depends. And what have we done with it? We've chopped down trees. We've cleared it and planted it, plowed it, and let the rain gully it and wash it away. We've cropped out the nourishment and put little or nothing back. We have starved the land. Now it's fighting back, threatening to starve us. And what do? We blame the Lord. What's the matter? Don't you believe me?
Well, I just never knew a man who got so excited about topsoil before. The men I've known...
Well, what do they talk about?
Oh, well, sometimes they tell me they think I'm intelligent.
You are.
Or they tell me they like me.
I do.
Oh. Well, let's talk about topsoil.
Yeah.
And the Gibbs. And how you can help them.
Well, I can't. And that's what drives me crazy. I just don't know enough.
You will. Thirty years ago, he watched his neighbor's corn shrivel on the stalk. Tonight, I sit by his side at a banquet in his honor.
Without exaggeration, one can speak of Dr. Loudermilk as a pioneer in his field. His first work in conservation was done as a forest ranger in the Tonto National Forest in Arizona. Then to learn more about soil and its relationship to man and history, he studied at Oxford University as a Rhodes Scholar. Following this, he served with Hoover on the Commission for Belgian Relief, and when the United States declared war, he volunteered.
For 11 years, we didn't see each other. I went to China as a missionary. And in 1920, there was a famine in China. 20 million people starved to death. 20 million people. I saw them starving. I came home to Pasadena on leave, and there was one person I wanted to talk to about the famine. It had been 11 years since I had seen Walter Loudermilk, but I wanted to tell him about the famine, and he came.
Oh, let me look at you, Ines. Oh, yes. Yeah, still the same.
You too. Huh? Even your hair, you still need a haircut.
Oh, I meant to stop and get one.
Doesn't matter. Walter, that famine in China, I saw it happening. There was this Chinese mother. She brought a baby to us for help. But it was too late. Baby was dead. Oh, why am I crying over one baby? There were 20 million people that died.
I know, you can't cry over 20 million people. You can only cry over one.
Walter, what are you going to do?
I'd like to put my arms around you and comfort you, make you forget the baby.
No, I'm not made that way. I can't forget him. I don't even want to. I meant, what are you going to do with your life?
Oh, I'm not sure yet. I still don't know enough. This famine, I still don't know what happened to the land where 20 million people can starve to death.
Come to China and find out. If you could help to save even one baby...
Are you going back, Ines?
Of course.
I think I'd like to go to China. I'd like to go if we could go together.
Before the Pan Pacific Science Congress in Tokyo in 1926, Dr. Loudermilk presented a paper that was to revolutionize thinking among soil conservationists.
Walter, you've got to get your hair cut before the meeting.
No, I haven't got time, Ines. I need these last few hours to go over my paper.
You're beginning to look like William Jennings Bryan.
Yeah, but I've got to go over my paper. Look, Ines, tonight I'm going to challenge what the foremost scientists in the world hold to be true. I'm going to tell them about my erosion experiments on the slopes of Shanxi Province. The results of those experiments show that man-made soil erosion in northwest China is sufficient to bring about a decline of civilization without an adverse change in climate.
Oh, Walter, I know all that. But the last time you spoke in public, your hair was waving like a flag. I was so embarrassed.
Well, we can't escape the meaning of these experiments. Our own agricultural sins bring about our agricultural disasters. Our floods, our famines.
Walter, let me do it.
Do what, for Pete's sake?
Let me cut your hair. I cut his hair before that Pan-Pacific Science Congress, and I've been cutting it ever since. I sit beside him tonight at the banquet table, and I look with pride at his gray stubble and his face weathered by the winds of the world. I remember Gibbs and the dead Chinese baby. I remember 1927 in China, when the Red Army marched northward and we saw our friend, the president of Nanking University, bludgeoned to death at our feet.
Got to stop thinking about it, Inez. It's no good for you, for the baby.
I can't stop thinking. I don't understand it. The soldiers who did it, well, they're people. They're people just like the Chinese people we know. Why did they do it? Why did they listen to the Reds?
They're hungry. The Red Army promises to feed them. If I had $20 million...
What would you do?
I'd spend it showing the Chinese farmer how to save his topsoil in the rain that falls on it.
The Red Army wouldn't let you.
Ah, but there'd be no Red Army if the Chinese farmer had enough to eat.
We came back home to California. Our first child was born, and Walter took his doctorate at the University of California. And then suddenly, hunger was here in America, too. The Depression, we call it now. Remember the apple sellers on the street corner? The farmers from the Dust Bowl taking to the road?
In 1933, President Roosevelt authorized formation of the country's first Soil Conservation Bureau. Dr. Loudermilk was called to Washington to help organize and direct its national program.
I hate the idea of Washington, Walter, getting involved in politics.
Yes, but remember the Gibbs, Inez? This is my chance to do something for the Gibbs. For all the Gibbses.
In 1939, as Assistant Chief of the United States Soil Conservation Bureau, Dr. Loudermilk made a field trip to Europe and the Middle East to study agricultural conditions. On this trip, he visited Israel for the first time.
I remember Israel. The year was 1939. The slaughter had begun in Europe. And in Israel, Palestine, we called it then, a homeland was being carved out of rock-strewn hills and desert wastes. A homeland for the dispossessed. I remember Hadera.
Here at Hadera, you can read our history in our tombstones. Once Hadera was a swamp. Summer after summer, whole families died of malaria.
But there's no swamp today. It's like a garden here. Orange groves, wheat fields.
The swamp was drained. My father died of malaria helping to do it.
How did people ever dare to undertake such a job?
It's very simple. If you have no home, you make even a swamp into a home.
In Israel that summer, we saw the building of a new country out of the ruins of an old. We saw the swamp drainers, the ditch diggers, the salt washers, the terrace builders. And at the Weizmann Institute, my husband spoke to the president.
Oh, Dr. Loudermilk, you've been with us now for 5 months. What do you think?
I think I've never seen on the face of the earth, Dr. Weizmann, such a superhuman effort to restore the damaged earth to its natural goodness.
And yet we have only scratched the surface. What we have done by hand, as it were, stone by stone. We haven't time any longer. Europe has become another Egypt.
The world doesn't know yet. I didn't know. Not until I saw the children at Nahalal.
At Nahalal, Dr. Loudermilk, there are 200 children. In Europe, there are 1 million Jewish children. We must be ready to receive all of them that we can save.
On our way home to America that summer, we saw a ship in the harbor at Beirut. On it were 600 refugees from Czechoslovakia bound for Palestine. But they had been stopped by the authorities.
Why? Why were they stopped?
The new white people forbids any further immigration into Palestine.
But why?
There's no more room. Palestine has absorbed to its fullest capacity.
But that's not true. Walter, tell him it's not true.
We've just come from Palestine. In my opinion...
The regulation is to turn back all ships.
But where will they go? Back to Europe to be slaughtered like sheep?
It's the consensus that the European situation is greatly exaggerated.
I want to go on board the ship. I want to find out from the people what's happening in Europe.
That's impossible, madam. The regulation forbids it. Besides, the ship is infested with rats. It constitutes a great threat to the city. There's talk of fumigation.
If the ship is fumigated, won't the people be removed?
Only overnight and under guard.
I want to talk to them.
Madam, I have told you it is impossible.
The impossible, sir, is something my wife never acknowledges. Not even the possibility of it.
And so, after my husband was taken away, we hid in cellars. My baby and I.
Your baby? You have a baby?
No. Perhaps it's best I don't have to worry about him any longer. I don't have to listen to him cry and wonder how I'll feed him. He's safe. He's dead.
Oh, no.
Don't cry for him. There are too many left to cry for one baby.
You can't cry for a million babies. You can only cry for one. That's why I came here today. I wanted to hear about one baby. So I can tell them at home.
Tell who?
We're going back to America. I'll tell whoever will listen.
His name was David. It means beloved. You can tell them that was my baby's name.
Back home in America, Dr. Loudermilk wrote a book, Palestine, Land of Promise. Out of first-hand knowledge, he set down for the world to read the great potentialities of that country. His book provided also the first draft of his proposal for a Jordan Valley Authority, also known as the Loudermilk Plan. Parts of this plan have already been put into effect by the Israeli government.
Back home in America, Walter wrote a book, and I did what a woman knows best how to do. I talked.
It's been a great privilege to have you speak to our missionary society, Mrs. Loudermilk. Our members all feel we would like to give you some remuneration.
Oh, no, please. I can't take money.
But it's customary. You came a long way. We want to do something for you.
Then do this. Buy a tree. A tree to be planted in Palestine.
A tree? Well, I don't understand.
Oh, there are so many rocky, barren hills in Palestine. The hills of Galilee, for instance. Trees will help to hold the soil. But more than that, a tree is a living, growing thing. We can't bring back the dead Jewish children of Europe, but we can plant a tree for them, and we can water it with our tears. I sit here in the banquet hall tonight, and I remember the trees. Carob and olive, cedar and balsam, eucalyptus and Jerusalem pine. The children are dead, but the trees are growing. I have seen them growing. In 1950, we went back to Israel.
It is good to see you again, Dr. Loudermilk. How long has it been?
11 years, Dr. Weitzman.
You will see many changes, but not enough. We've opened our doors to fully 1 million people in the last 10 years, and they're still pouring in. Now, mostly from the Muslim countries. We will never say no to anyone, but how to clothe them, feed them, house them.
Stupendous problem.
We haven't time to make mistakes. We need experts in every field to tell us what to do. We need men like you.
That's why I'm here. I have a proposal to make to you, Dr. Weitzman.
What do you propose?
Maybe you know I retired from the Department of Agriculture several years ago. Since then, I've been in various parts of the world, acting as consultant in soil conservation to various governments. I would like to come to Israel now and help you with your agricultural problems.
Ever since your first visit, Dr. Loudermilk, I've wanted to ask you to come, but there is a very good reason why I haven't.
What reason?
We are a poor country. We operate, as you say in America, on a shoestring.
Dr. Weitzman, I am offering my services.
I don't understand.
I want to give the State of Israel my services for 1 year. Will you accept them?
I have seen a great deal of the world, Dr. Loudermilk. I had thought that I could no longer be astonished by anything. But you astonish me. Why do you wish to do this for my country? You are not a Jew.
No, I am not a Jew. Maybe that's why. I was a witness to what has happened in the world. You were the victim. This may sound pious, but let me put it this way. If I can help to make the earth of Palestine a little richer for the children who will inherit it, then maybe the dead children will rest a little more quietly in their graves.
I accept your offer. When can you come to us, Dr. Loudermilk?
For the last 2.5 years, Dr. Loudermilk has made Israel his home. For almost a year, he donated his services to the Israeli government. After that time, he was appointed to the Food Agricultural Organization of the United Nations and assigned to continue his work in Israel. Tonight, it is with great pride that we announce that next September, Dr. Loudermilk will again return to Israel. He will return this time as the head of the new Agricultural Engineering Department of Technion, Israel's university for training technicians in the applied sciences.
I am sitting beside him, the guest of honor. I am where I have been for the greater part of our lives. I sit at the banquet, and I remember the Gibbs, and the dead Chinese baby, and David, who never got to Palestine.
His name was David. It means beloved. You can tell them that was my baby's name.
They are here too. And whatever he has done, my husband, whatever he will do, they are the reason. There is a psalm of David that is one of my husband's favorites. I like to think that it will be fulfilled in Israel, and that we shall be there to see it fulfilled. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Though he go upon his way weeping, he shall come back with joy, bearing his sheaves.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Boris Turner, Chairman of the Fine Arts Committee and member of the Board of Overseers of the University of Judaism in Los Angeles.
Loudermilk, that magic name. I heard it in Israel from Dan to Beersheba, in the cities, in the villages, in the kibbutzim, spoken with reverence, with love. Here was a man, they said, not of our faith, who came of his own volition to breathe life into the soil of Israel. And wonderment shone on their faces because they knew he taught the lessons of the good earth to the impoverished peoples, the underprivileged, to the plain people, the world over. Why does he do it? Because he is a man made in God's image, recognizing no religious or racial boundaries, concerned only with humanity, to help man achieve a decent, a dignified life, whether on the plains of Arizona or the hills of Galilee. The life of the Loudermilks is an object lesson in brotherhood. They don't talk brotherhood. They live it. It is not just a pretty word on their lips, but a driving force which has been the motivating factor of their good lives. The state of Israel is grateful for the Loudermilks. It needs them badly. It needs more such inspired men and women of goodwill who will lend Israel of their manifold talents, doctors, scientists, engineers, who will help this tiny state develop its material and spiritual resources so that once again, as in Bible days, it might become a source of rich blessing for itself, its neighbors, and who knows, perhaps for the world. Yes, the little Davids who have died on their way to Israel will rest better in their grave. The new generation will thrive better. And those yet unborn will inherit a rich legacy of good earth to sustain them. As in the Psalm of David, Dr. Loudermilk's skill drops upon the pastures in the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Yes, they shout for joy. Blessed be the name of Loudermilk.
Thank you, Mrs. Turner. Eternal light drama, Prophet in Dungarees, was written by Virginia Mazur and starred Marcia Hunt as Mrs. Loudermilk. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Robert Armbruster. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Andrew Love, and came to you today transcribed from Hollywood. This was the last in the series of four programs under the auspices of the University of Judaism, West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is the NBC Radio Network.